I'd like to welcome everybody out this morning. I know it's a cold, slick morning. It's good to see this good crowd in this situation, especially. But again, we want to welcome everybody being here today. I didn't know I was going to do this just a minute ago, but if you guys have your Bibles real quick, I'm just going to open up real quick to the book of Acts, chapter number one. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm just going to, just something I had on my mind this morning. If I can find it. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 10, I meant to say.
75.
In this story, here in Acts chapter 10, if you guys remember, it talks about the fact that Peter was on top of, he's in a rooftop here, and I guess I'm not going to read all this, but in this chapter, it talks about the fact that he was on a rooftop, and the Lord comes to him in a dream, and he lets him know that there were some people going to come and talk to him. And in the story, he says, or in this part of the Bible, he says to rise, kill, and eat, and he says, no, Lord. Don't call any. He said, "I've never let anything unclean ever touch my lips," and he tells him, "Call not what I call clean unclean." And today, and I know that it's a special day for me because I'm getting to see one of my granddaughters get baptized today, and it is a good thing to see that when somebody is going to. Or where somebody has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we're not just something that I would consider to be, because Hadley's my granddaughter, and she's precious to me, and she's a blessing to me. But to know that she's been declared righteous and clean in the sight of God, amen. That changes things. And the word community says, the definition for community says a group of people who come together with shared values, experiences, or beliefs. And it's a good place to come together with a common community desire to see all of our kids and our grandkids and our neighbors and our friends saved and trust in Jesus Christ, their Savior. And to sit down with a group of people with a shared desire is a good place to be this morning. It's just a good place to be standing in front of a group of people with those same desires. It's a joy to be here, and I'm just thankful, very thankful to be here. First song we're going to sing today is on 159.
75.
I'm sorry, page 75. Oh, I got a book. Page 75.
Would you or evil a victory win? There's
deacons to come forward. I'm sorry, if I'm doing this backwards, I apologize. I'm just doing the best I can. Everybody stand. Brother Chris, you do some prayer. We're going to be singing on page 47.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Sean, for helping us this morning with that. No, you did a good job. You know why you did a good job? Because if you didn't do it, I was going to have to do it. So that is the one handicap I have is that, you know, you'd think that that just makes me nervous. You think, well, you get up there and preach that you should get over that. But God did not give me the gift of singing for sure. And thank you, Sean, for jumping in that for Brother Ronnie this morning. And just to remind you that, boy, he's the most missed man here, you know, other than maybe perhaps if I didn't show up, that'd be a little bummer, too. That'd be a little scramble around that as well. So, hopefully we pray that God will keep the weather down. So last Sunday we got snowed out. This Sunday I started watching the weather, and I'm like, man, we're coming on Sunday again. And I was telling God, you know, I know God knows it's Sunday, right? And so he's in control of that. And I'm glad we were at least able to get here this morning. Not only do we have Hunter's little girl getting baptized, but Brother Tracy, where are you? You're where in the back? Your granddaughter's getting baptized as well this morning. Both of them got saved through Awana, and we're thankful for the kids program over there. You know, we were down in Sriville on Monday, and because I didn't have any electricity, so I took Maggie and the kids down there, and we were watching a little girl, and she was doing a little dance, you know, that new TikTok thing. You know, I don't know why they did that or who invented it, but it's very popular, and you see kids, adults doing it, you see kids doing it. It's almost like, you know, they can't stand still without doing that silly thing. The second I saw that young lady doing that, I knew for sure she's watched TikTok, right? That's where she got it from. That is all the craze out there. Well, the world is constantly imprinting on us every day, whether we like it or not. And you can see the results of that by simply the actions of one little girl that she's just mimicking what she's around. That's it, right? I mean, she, you know, the whole mechanics of that and whether or not China uses that to spy on America, she don't care, you know. I mean, she's just doing what she's been around constantly and other kids are doing, and it's just being duplicated. But that's what a good Wednesday night program is for God's work, right? It's an opportunity to imprint on a bunch of kids something that's positive, something that, you know, I mean, just think for 2 hours over there, one-on-one, they're able to hear the stories in the Bible, you know, be taught lessons from the Bible every Wednesday night, and you see the fruit of that. Just like I saw a girl mimicking something she saw on TikTok, you know what these kids are doing? They're just responding to what they've been around, you know, and what they heard is that Jesus loves them, and that there's a home in heaven, and that God can forgive you, and your sins can be taken away, and Jesus paid for them. And when they hear that Wednesday after Wednesday, it is something that it should not shock us when they respond to that, right? And that's what they're doing. Hadley responded to that. Tracy's granddaughter responded to that. And how many of you got saved? If you got saved under the age of 10, raise your hand this morning. All right, look around, raise it nice and high and wave it out. Okay, that's a lot of people that got saved under the age of 10, amen. And I'm glad to have a part in that this afternoon and being able to baptize them. I think Hunter's going to come sing, right? And then Lexi's going to sing, right? Okay.
There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. But he picked me up and showed me the way. 'Cause all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. 'Cause
like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
my soul.
His going, or what impact that has. I like that part where it says, my sin, not the part but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. I tell you what, that never gets old. Amen. And I'm glad that Jesus did that for us on the cross. Just a real quick announcement. Keep prayer for Beryl. She broke her leg yesterday and had to have that operated on, so you want to pray for her. Went and saw Jackie yesterday. She's doing good. Keep her in prayers. And I also want to put a date on the calendar, the first Saturday in March. Maggie and I, we thought we'd like to try to get to know people and have them over to our house, but I kind of live off the beaten path. So we want to invite all the seniors. So that would be, we'll put it age 60 and older, okay? All right, so now if you come and you're not in that category, I don't care, but we've got to put it somewhere. So age 60 and older, and next Sunday I'll have a sign-up sheet if you want to think about it. And we don't want you to bring anything but yourself. Maggie and I are going to do the cooking, and we'll have a special guy going to do the devotions for us that night. But this would be... Our house wouldn't be big enough to do all this. We just want to get a chance to spend some time with you guys. So we would like to do that. So it'd be the first Saturday in March. And next week we'll just have a sign-up sheet. Yeah, we'll do it at the Fellowship Hall. That way there's be plenty of room to spread out and social distance so that it would be safe as well. So if you just think about that, and if there's somebody here that's in that category, that's not here in that category, but you can invite them for me. That'd be great. Okay, take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we're going to start this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I like the book of Samuel. It is probably one of the easier books to read in the Old Testament because there's just so much going on in it. It reads like a story because it is, you know, and there's so much history, and there's a lot of action in it. 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning, being able to come here and have a chance to baptize two young people this morning that put their faith and trust in you. Lord, thank you for giving us safety this morning. Lord, we need to be around your word. Lord, we need to be around your fellowship, and I pray that you'd help us, Father, that it would be very real, Lord, that we were with you today, and I can't do that. Lord, I pray you'd help us to clear our hearts and our minds, Lord, that there would be nothing between us and you this morning, and that each person here would just have a desire. Lord, I know that you are faithful, and Lord, if we would just open our hearts and, Lord, expecting something from you, being willing to do something with what we hear this morning. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers, Lord, but I cannot touch a human heart. I cannot bring this book alive. Only you can do that. Lord, I pray, Lord, as I get it out of the way, Lord, that your spirit would go forward and help us this morning. Jesus, I want to thank you personally for what you did for me on the cross. Lord, thank you that my sin, not the part but the whole, was nailed to that cross. Thank you, Father. Looking forward to being with you in heaven one day. I pray you be with your word this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11, we pick up in the story of David. And Israel had already gone through a transition. They wanted a king, and God told them what it would be like to have a king, and they wanted a king anyway. And their first king was Saul, and that was kind of a disaster because Saul did exactly what God said he was going to do. He was serving himself. You know, God as the king in our life never served himself, always served us. And what Israel traded was a God that was not selfish and a God that didn't have a motive other than loving us. Israel traded that for an earthly king
who was trying to build his own kingdom. And that first king was a disaster. And God is now going to give Israel another king. And as Jesse's boys showed up that day in front of Samuel, you know, they were big, strapping young men. And God didn't choose any of them. And if you look here in verse 11, it says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, here are all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. On that day, David knew what his future was going to hold. Could you imagine? You were just out there watching sheep. I mean, you were at the bottom of the totem pole. Your brothers were the ones that were the first string guys. They were the one that were getting played every game, and you were just in the background. And all of a sudden, on that day, things changed. On that day, that young boy knew what God wanted him to do. On that day, from that day forward, David had some direction in his life. That set something in place right then that would change everything around him. On that day, his path changed. His direction changed. What he was going to do was changing. On that day, things were never the same. And if you look at that one verse, it says this, and it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day forward, Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. It says that the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Unlike Saul, there was a time when the Spirit of God left Saul. That never happened to David. Although there were things in David's life that would no doubt cause some sadness, not only to God, but to Israel. May I tell you something? God was with him the whole entire way. And that began a journey. Now, that kind of got put on hold for a little bit in his mind. I mean, how do you wrap your mind around knowing you're going to be king one day, but you really can't tell anybody you're going to be a king one day? And then the next thing you know, fast forward it, you're at the battle, you're visiting your brothers. There's Goliath standing there, and you're listening to him making fun of God, and you stand out there that day, and he said that famous quote, "Is there not a cause?" And he said, "Hey, we can't stand here and let this giant do that." And we know the story, how David stood up, and Saul tried to give him his armor, and he said, "Oh, I'm not gonna wear that. That's not been proved." He said, "But what has been proved to me is God. God, you know, helped me kill the lion. He helped me kill the bear. And he's going to help me kill this uncircumcised Philistine." And he went out on battle. He took that slingshot, killed that giant, stood over him with the giant's own sword, cut his head off. And remember, they sang those songs, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Israel was just so excited. But in the middle of that, something else happened. With all that excitement, you know, Saul already knew that his kingdom was going to be taken from him, and there was jealousy there. There was a hatred going on that would cause problems to come. And if you would go to 1 Samuel chapter 21, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 21, and then I want you to go first to, let's look at verse 19, 1 Samuel chapter 19, and then verse 9. So we've gone through the battle with Goliath. He's killed Goliath, and you're thinking, I mean, and Samuel's loving on, or Saul's loving on him. He marries one of Saul's daughters, but as David grew in popularity among the people, Okay, as those things went on, the relationship with Saul started to deteriorate. Now think about this. He was told over here the direction that he was going to go. He knew that God had a plan for his life, right? And you would think, well, that's all I would need. It's going to be easy from here. There are many times during that time period where that direction kind of got lost a little bit because of the things happening around him. And although he's thinking, well, man, you know, somehow God's going to work this out. I'm going to take over from Saul. It might even be a peaceful transition, but that's not the way it was going to go. If you look here in verse 8, it says this in chapter 19, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter and fled from him. Then again, David was more popular. All of a sudden, people were just singing songs about him in verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house, and with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with a javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. And Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. And on that day, from that day forward, until God took Saul out of the picture, from that day forward, David was on the run. From that day forward, he had to literally run from his life. Even though that he knew where the direction was going, even though he knew what God said, all of a sudden, what God said and what was actually happening wasn't adding up. All of a sudden, what he was told that day by Samuel, that he was going to be king of Israel and how that was going to play out, all of a sudden, he's having to run for his life. He's having to hide in the mountains, and he's having to go and find friends of the enemy even, because he was on the run from that day forward. In his mind, all of a sudden, that direction can get lost. And you can get thinking, okay, you know, what am I supposed to do? May I tell you something? I'm going to stop right here and tell you something. Every single person in this room was born lost, but you were going someplace. Okay? Your destination was already predetermined the moment you were born. You were on your way to hell. And if you're in this room and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I tell you something? You're still on your way to hell. Every human being that is born into this world is born in this world already on a journey to a destination. It's already predetermined that's where you're going to go, because you are born in sin. And because you're born in sin, you have to pay the price of being a sinner. But may I tell you something? You can change directions. And you can get a purpose in your life, and that's by meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, my journey to hell ended, and my direction in God began. On that day, my destination changed. I went from being on my way to hell to on my way to heaven. I know I'm going there. I know I'm going to live there forever. I know my sins are forgiven. But may I tell you something? Since the day I got saved to when I finally crossed across that shore, do you know what happens to many people in this room? It's happened to me. It can happen on a daily basis. It can happen on a weekly basis. It can drag you down for months. And you know what it is? All of a sudden, you lose your direction. You know that's where you're going. And you know it's out there, but it just seems like that it just doesn't make any sense, that the detours and the dead ends and the wrong ways and the bad decision. And I'm telling you, I mean, a child of God can get really lost in this world really fast. A child of God can get their mind off of the things above and can get so preoccupied with this filthy world, and our flesh gets in the way, and our emotions get in the way. And here God all the time says, David, I got a direction for you. Your path changed when you met me, and there's a destination that you're going. You're coming to my house. You're going to live with me forever. But along the way, we lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. We lose sight about what it's all about, and we get very distracted, and then we're not able to do what we need to do. May I tell you something? Because of God, and because of what he did for us on the cross, that no matter where we're at on that journey, We are never lost if we'll just look to Him. We are never on our own if we'll just, you may feel like you're by yourself. You may feel you've gone down a road that you can't get out of. You may feel like there's no hope. You may feel utterly helpless, but may I tell you something? If you're a child of God, there will be never be a day in your life where you are truly lost ever again, because He is right there. And that direction can be found. You know, in this story, there's something that happens that you know, nothing's random in the Bible. It's all there on purpose. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to read this verse to you a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 21. So David goes out and he's having to hide, and he's basically running for his life. Okay, he stops in at the priest, and he actually, hides out there for a little bit, trying to catch his breath. He doesn't want the priest to know that Saul's trying to kill him, and he's just kind of hanging out there trying to catch his breath. And I want you to go down to verse 12. And David laid up, let's go to verse 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. At this moment, David has an opportunity to think about what it was before he lost direction. And God's reminding him about those days when, he was out there killing the enemy. I want you to look at verse 13 or verse 12. And David laid up these words in his heart and was so afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself feigned himself mad in their hands and scrambled on the doors of the gate and left spittle fall down on his beard. Here he was, acting as though he was crazy. In verse 9, I want to show you this. Before that happened, before he got to that part, I want to show you verse 9. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth. Behold, behind the ephod, if thou wilt take that, take it, for there is none, no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it to me. And verse 8, it says, and David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requires haste. David was at a time he was hiding. He left his house with nothing. He didn't even have a weapon. And when he got to this priest, he said, listen, is there a sword around here? Is there a spear around here? And that guy said, the priest said, the only sword that I have here is the sword that you killed Goliath with. He says, that's the only one here. And David said, okay, I'll take that sword. Now, why would God just all of a sudden put that in there? What for? And then what happened right after that? Right after that, they're getting an idea who this is. And they said, hey, this is the one that they were singing those songs about. This is David, the one that they were saying, hey, he killed his 10,000s. And you know what David said? He said he kept those words in his mind. You know what happened right there? Right there, the second that sword was handed to David, the second he took that cloth off that sword, he all of a sudden remembered his direction. He's holding in his hand the very sword of victory that he stood over a giant that was much bigger to him. On that day, God put in his hand. Why was it like that? That is not a random act. That is just not a little bit of information stuffed in the Bible that doesn't matter. There is a reason why. It could have been any sword. Why did it have to be that sword? He could have given him a spear. Why did he give him that sword? Because on that day, David's running, and his mind, he's thinking, maybe this is wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to be king. Maybe I'm going to end up dying. And on that day, God let him know, hey, he still has a direction for him. That's never changed. And on that day, holding that sword, he knew what victory was. He watched God take care of an enemy. And on that day, he knew that no matter what would happen, that God was going to be with him, just like he was out on that battlefield, and he can trust him. All of a sudden, that sword gave him some direction in his life. You know, if you follow this story, and we don't have time, go a couple chapters later, and he actually runs into Saul. Saul's hiding in a cave. David actually goes and he sneaks into where Saul's laying, and he cuts off part of Saul's robe. He could have killed Saul at that moment. Do you know why he didn't do that? Do you know why he didn't go in there and take Saul's life, even though he had the opportunity to do it? Because David was no longer lost. David knew his direction. And he knew that Saul was not his to kill. That belonged to God. And he was just going to trust that, and he knew he was going to be okay. And you know what? There's lots of times through David's life that David got really lost. But God made sure he put him back in the direction again. Let me just read this to you. He promised, David was not allowed to go to Isaiah chapter 9. David was not allowed to build the temple because of his decisions that he made, and he had a bloody kingdom, so God wasn't going to let him build it. He gave that to his son. But I want you to read here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, for even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." See, when God told David he couldn't build the temple, he said that, he made him a promise. He said, "David, there always will be a king from your seed on the throne forever." And he was talking about Jesus. And you read that in Isaiah, repeating that promise. Okay, now watch this. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And I want you to look at verse 22. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Verse 1, "And afterwards they desired a king." That's the same story that I was telling you about how Israel didn't want God as their king. "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Is that not pretty cool? Now, so when you look at David's life, all right, we know that God kept his promise, right? And through David, through a man that you wouldn't think, because we know that he made some mistakes, okay? But may I tell you something? That when he did what he was supposed to do, and he got right with God, and he found the direction, and the direction was, hey, here, when I anointed you king, David, this is where I'm going to take you. And God kept his word. And may I tell you something? It doesn't matter how lost we can get in this world. You cannot get in a place that be so lost that God can't give you the direction to get out of there, even if it's the pig pen. Because you know what, may I tell you something? Can you imagine being a prodigal son, eaten from the husks of a pig, and sitting up there thinking, man, and my dad, when I used to live with him, took so much better care of me. And on that moment right then, it was like something happened and a compass turned and he knew which way home was. And because he knew which way home was, because he knew where it was, he was able to find it. Why? Because God helped. Listen, no matter where you're at in life, you know, in life today, we've got, just like David, You know, we start out, we get saved, and we think, okay, everything's going to be great. I'm going to heaven, and all of a sudden we have an enemy, because David had him. And what does that enemy want to do? Want us to get us to change direction, and he's going to try everything that he can. That is why it is so important in our lives. Everybody in this room needs to have a direction in their life. Where are you going? What is the purpose of you being saved? What does God want you to do? What is the direction that God... I mean, the devil's going to put all of these things all around us, all of these dead ends, these turns, these roads where we can get off, and we can get so lost in this world. And what we need to do is, all we need to do is look up and look to him, and he's our direction. He will guide you. There is not a spot that you can get into that God can't help you get out. There is not. You can't get so lost that he can't find you. Once you belong to him, you eternally belong to him. And may I tell you something? You may feel like it's a little helpless. You know, you may be looking at a marriage and saying, I can't take this another day. There's so much pressure on me. But may I tell you something? You'll find some direction in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find comfort. You can find hope. He'll guide you. He'll tell you what to do. He'll be a friend like no other person can be a friend to you. You might have kids that are out of the world and not living right, and you think, is there no hope, and your heart's heavy? But may I tell you something? Then you just keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You get up and you live for him every day. You don't go to the right hand and you don't go to the left hand. You go straight ahead and you keep your eyes fixed on him. He's our compass. He doesn't change. I was talking to Greg about a compass and about, you know, he's saying that, you know, if you've ever had to actually use one, it's kind of difficult because it's hard to trust it. You may be deep in the woods and think that is not the right way to go. That cannot be possibly be the decision I need to make. That can't possibly be the way I need to go, because you can't see it. You don't, you know, I mean, it's a force that's moving that needle. You don't even know what's actually doing it. They tell you that it's some magnetic thing that's doing it. All you know is that I'm supposed to put every step I take based on where that needle's showing me. May I tell you something? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. It is an eternal compass written in our heart the moment that we get saved. And may I tell you something? Wherever at you're in your life, all you got to do is pull that compass out and point it towards him. And may I tell you something? That little needle will go just like that, and it'll show you the way out of that. It'll show you what decision to make. It'll show you about how to forgive. It'll show you about how to love. It'll show you how to be a dad. It'll show you how to be a husband. These besetting sins that get in all our lives, no matter what it is, that compass pointed at the Lord Jesus Christ, man, it'll lead you through the darkest storm. It'll lead you out of the thickest woods. It'll lead you out of the deepest depression and the hardest spots you've ever been in your life if you will just follow him.
Amen.
Because may I tell you something? A soul without direction is a scary thing. And because, may I tell you, there'll be a thousand things, thousand little detours that you can take. And in all of these choices in front of, what does the Bible say? God's word is a lamp unto my feet. And it's a light unto my path. So that if I got that and it's shining where I need, it doesn't matter what's happening out here. All I need to concentrate is what's on in front of me. And if I will take that light and shine it on my life, he will show me what I need to do. He will show me the way out of that. He is not going to leave me, just like he didn't leave David. I mean, think about that. He's sitting there, he's actually running away. And he's saying, look, do you got a sword? Now, if he knew that was there, he would have just said, hey, go give me that sword. He said, man, in his mind he's thinking, I got enemies, and they're trying to kill me. And I don't even have a slingshot. You know, and he's sitting down there, and he's trying not to get caught. Man, do they know that Saul's actually trying to kill me? Are they going to turn me in? And all these things in his mind. He says, hey, do you have a sword or a spear? And the guy says, no. The only thing we have is the sword you killed Goliath with. And David said, go get it. That's a big sword, Brother Lloyd. Can you imagine dropping that, and it was covered in a cloth, and he dropped that on David's lap. Why is that in there? Because you just imagine pulling that sheet off and remembering that day when that giant fell, and you're holding that in your hand, and you're saying, game on. let's go. I got direction. And may I tell you something? The world will try its best to get us to stay lost. To get us off the path as a Christian. He cannot do anything about our eternal destination because that's signed, sealed, and delivered in the blood of Jesus Christ. But a Christian can get really lost. Yeah, I tell you what, Peter was really lost that day at Calvary. I mean, he was lost. He had no direction. But may I tell you something? After that, he went and he just wept bitterly. He pulled that compass out, and that compass pulling that needle right towards Jesus. And may I tell you something? In the sermon in Pentecost, all of a sudden you won't find a man that's lost. You will find a man that's got direction. He's up there preaching as though that's in the past. That thing hanging over his head, people making all kinds of stupid remarks about that. Peter got up there, knocked one out of the park for Jesus. People got saved. Why? Because Peter found his direction. Amen. May I tell you something? The prodigal son found his direction. He was able to go home. And any person in here, you can take it to the littlest detail. As a dad, I need to have direction, because where I go, I'm taking other people with me. Right? Okay? If I don't wake up in the morning and I have direction from God of what I'm supposed to do and where I'm going to go, the destination's not planet Earth. That's not the destination. I'm not going here. I'm already here. I'm going someplace else. The destination's heaven. The destination is Jesus, right? Don't take your eye off the prize. Do you know what the destination? The destination is getting there and hearing, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I was thinking about this the other day. You know, people talk about as in our Christian lives that oftentimes there are times when we fail God and we are disappointed in ourselves, and we think, how would God ever say to me, "David, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have just been, you know, I've let him down too many times." Remember what Paul said? Paul said this: "I fought a good fight." Can you see Paul crossing over heaven's shores and he's standing there? I mean, the things that Paul went through, he was stoned. I mean, you read the list of things that happened to the Apostle Paul, it's crazy. He was beat up for Jesus. Can you imagine him getting there and the angel saying, "What happened to you? Where have you been? Look at you, you're a mess. All those scars over your body, all those, look at your back. When did that happen?" "Oh, that was in the Philippian jailer story. That's where that was from." I mean, he was a mess physically. You know what? The angel said, "What happened to you?" You know what Paul would do? He'd smile and he'd say, "Man, I fought a good fight." Do you know what? There's something to be said of crossing heaven shores with bloody knuckles. I can't cross it perfect. John, I can't do that. But I can cross it with some bloody knuckles. You know what that'll mean? Man, I fought. I didn't give up. I fought. I took some licks. But I fought because I kept my direction. I didn't give up. I didn't give up on my family. I didn't give up on church. Oh, yes, you can point to times in my life. Well, look at there and look at there and look at there and look at there. But you can say, "Yeah, but thank God I got my direction back and I finished my course." The question is this morning, first off, if you're here and you're not saved, then you are eternally lost. You are already on a journey that's got a destination pre-picked for you, and that is hell. But may I tell you something? That destination can change the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, those of us that are saved, let me ask you this question. Do you have right now direction for your life? Is there some spot in your life that it feels like you're at a dead-end road? Is there a spot in your life where you feel like you've taken a detour and the road's gotten rocky? Is there a spot in your life where you feel like that you're just going to give up? Maybe it's on your marriage. Maybe it's on your kids. Maybe there's a sin in your life that's just been and it's just eating you and eating your lunch day after day, and you can't get and you just think, "I'm not even going to try anymore." The moment you do that, you're in trouble. And at that moment, you know what we need to do in this all this mess that's happened to us is there are lots of people all over the place that have lost the direction. And we're just wandering around. Well, that's not good for any Christian. But may I tell you, you get up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and you say, okay, where am I going? I'm going to heaven. All right, so what's my direction today? To please the Lord Jesus Christ with my life. That's my direction. And if I take that's my direction, is to please God with my life every day, then the decisions that I make about my friends, the decisions I make about my marriage, the decisions I make about my kids, you know, the decisions how I respond to other people around me, all of those things are going to indicate whether I have direction or not. The decisions I make at that moment will tell you whether or not that I have direction. Well, why did you make that decision? Because I have direction from God. I'm going there. I've got my eyes set on something much bigger than anything down here. I got my sights set on heaven, and I'm going to live my life as though I have direction. And may I tell you something? Whew. It don't matter. It doesn't matter what's out there. Jake's got his pilot's license. And do you have your instrument rating yet, Jake? Some of the things that they do when you get your instrument, I don't know if they did that to you, but they'll actually blindfold you to where all you can see is the instrument in front of you. John said, my best friend said, they would black out the windows on the airplane and you can't see. And all you have is this GPS thing in front of you. You can't see the clouds. You can't see the ground. All you have is an instrument in front of you, and that's it. And you have to fly that airplane based on not seeing anything except that directional right in front of you. It doesn't matter what's out there. You don't need to know where the mountain. All you need to do is look at it, put that little plane where it's supposed to be on that little line. And if you do that, you're going to land. I tell you something, it doesn't matter what's out there. Close your eyes to it. And just look at him. And I promise you, he'll land you safely. And that's all you got to do. If you just look to him and you get your direction from him, it doesn't matter if you can't see. Who cares? Because you got that compass pointing towards him, and that he isn't going to let you down. I mean, there are many a pilot have wrecked a plane because they didn't trust the direction they were given with that instrument. They were trying to decide if on their own, is that, and then all of a sudden, and you think, how does anybody fly into the ground? You know, I think even I could not do that. You know, I mean, how do you fly an airplane in the ground? Well, you know, you think, why did they do that? Well, at that moment, they didn't trust what was in front of them. They trusted their own feelings. Guys, your feelings will let you down. Promise you. Your flesh will let you down. Promise you. Your family will let you down. Promise you. The people at work are going to let you down. I promise you that. But you know who won't ever let you down? And that's Jesus. Amen. You know who won't take you down the dead-end road? That's Jesus. You know who won't lead you the wrong way? That's Jesus. And I don't have a sword I can drop in your lap and remind you like happened to David that day. But we do have this. And you know what? Ironically, guess what? Jake, it's a sword. We do have this, right? And may I tell you something? It only takes a moment to hold this thing in your hand. You ever do that sometimes? Sometimes I just hold it. I know it seems goofy, right? I just hold it. Because this is the closest I can get to them right now. It's just right here. I want you to just picture in your mind you walking out tomorrow like this. Just hold on to it. Trust it. Live it. And I promise you, it'll guide you safely. Amen. And you'll have the direction that you need. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And Lord, I don't know why you wanted us to know that David didn't have a sword. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can chalk up as being random in the Bible. But Lord, you knew. I mean, right after he got that sword, the people started talking about his past victories and Lord, that gave him the strength and the courage to know that no matter what Saul said or how bad he was going to try to kill him, Lord, that you already had it written down in eternity that he was going to be king over Israel. And not only that, Father, that his throne would be with that there would be a seed that would sit on his throne that would be an everlasting kingdom. And Lord, you saw him through that all. And on that day, he was reminded of the direction he was going. Father, if there's somebody here that's lost this morning, I pray that you'd help them. I pray that you'd help them find direction. They're already got a destination, but you can change that. And a destination could be heaven. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not trusted you as their Savior this morning, Lord, why in the world would somebody want to walk out this door lost and on their way to hell? Lord, I pray you'd help them. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. Father, I can't talk anybody into getting saved. Lord, but I can't put an urgency in their heart. Lord, I cannot make them feel the love that you have for them when you died on the cross, but you can do that. Lord, and I pray if there's a lost soul in this room that you would reach down into their heart and the love would just be irresistible. You would break down barriers and walls and what are people going to think, and you'd push all that aside. And you'd give that soul the comfort and confidence it needs to be able to trust you as their Savior. And Father, as Christians, many times we can get lost in this world. Lord, we can lose our direction. And we desperately need that. But Father, I am thankful that because of you, no matter where this world may find us, even if it's a pig pen, Lord, you can show us the way home. And Father, Lord, there's too many people in this room to know every need in every heart. Well, I know that it's something that happens. No doubt there are people in this room that feel like that although they're saved, they're lost in an area of their life, and they need help. Father, I pray that you'd give them direction. And Lord, may it start by kneeling at this altar and pointing that compass towards you. Lord, I just thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for the truth in your word. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you'd stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Sean to come up here in just a minute. And while you're standing, if the young ladies who are going to get baptized would make their way to the back, and I'll go back there in just a minute. I'm going to ask Sean to come up here, and we're going to have a time of invitation. You know, when I was studying for this message, I was just thinking about, you know, my life and thinking about, you know, the different times when God, you know, was showing me what he wanted me to do. And there's some times that you make, I remember when I resigned and went to Africa. There's a moment in my life where I honestly thought I made the worst decision I've ever made. I began to doubt all kinds of things. And on that moment, you know, God just put in my mind, he said, Dave, he said, you know, you prayed and I answered that prayer, and I showed you I was going to be with you. What more do you want? And all of a sudden, man, direction popped right back in front of me. And it didn't matter what was ahead of me. I knew what I was supposed to do. I had direction. Man, it is so frustrating as a Christian to live down here and not have direction in your life. You need it on a daily basis. You need it in your marriage. You need it in raising your kids. You need it with your friends. You need it every single day to have direction. I need to know where to place every foot. And that's possible by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and pointing that compass towards him. But if God spoke to your heart and he's pointed something out and said, listen, I can show you the way. You don't need to wander anymore. I can help you. I can give you that direction you need. Well, if he's helped you, then don't be afraid to start today. Man, bend a knee at this old-fashioned altar and point that compass right towards him. And man, I promise you, you'll leave here with the direction that you need. If God spoke to your heart as the ladies play, you come. And Sean, if you'd come up here and close this and maybe sing a song afterwards.
Thank you.
I'm reminded of all the different times that my life where I lost direction. And every time I've ever lost direction, it's when I quit using my sword. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've lost direction. Maybe you've laid your sword down. Maybe it's time to pick your sword back up. But maybe you're sitting here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need a direction. Won't you step out today? Come down here. We'll pull this old sword out, and we'll show you God's direction here. It was the greatest day of my life. Song? Do you have a song? Or do you? Was it 159? Is that the song you actually got? Okay. I'm gonna try to get 155.
Came from glory, heaven heard about.
my part before. Is this on? Testing, one, two. That I have gotten into a baptistry freezing cold. Okay? And I've seen people hit that water and the breath take it. But Brother Matt, you achieved just the opposite. I put my foot in this water. I'm like, whoa, it may be too hot. But I moved it around a little bit. I got Hadley soaking over here so that she can get used to it. Tyler, you're just going to have to go for the plunge, kiddo. I'm going to start her out up here because it's warm. Now, once you get now that minute, it's okay. But the first step was like, ooh, that's what, so thank you, Brother Matt. Okay, so Siler, isn't it a pretty name? I told her, I hope I don't mess up and call her Tyler. Siler, you are 9 years old. Okay, now think about this. At 9 years old, you're told a story. How that you're a sinner, and because of that sin, there's a scary place that you have to go, and it's a place called hell. And you're 9 years old, and you're hearing that story, and then the story goes on, and it says, but you don't have to go to hell because somebody loved you. And at 9 years old, you hear a story about Jesus. And you tell a 9-year-old a story about Jesus being nailed to the cross. You tell a 9-year-old a story about the blood dripping off of him, about the crown of thorns placed on his head, about how they took a whip and they tore his back open. You tell a 9-year-old that, and they are riveted to every word that you're saying. And I've had them come up and say, why did they do that to him? Why were they mean to Jesus? And then we can say the reason why that they were mean to Jesus is because Jesus was saving you. And at 9 years old, a little girl can hear a story about a God in heaven that didn't want a 9-year-old girl to die without hope. So he left his home, came to a cross, and died on that cross, and paid a penalty that Siler owed so that Siler would not have to go to hell. Now, how cool is that? And it's pretty neat when a 9-year-old just believes that. Siler, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? Amen. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Okay. Awana program over there, and we've seen a lot of kids. In the first year that we did, we saw a lot of kids get saved in the Awana program, right? And okay, why? Because every single night, that's what they're hearing. You know, when somebody's 80 years old and hasn't trusted Christ, it's a little bit difficult, but I don't know too many 8-year-old atheists. Amen? And that's the reason why, if we care about the future of our country, you know where you got to start? You got to start with the Hadleys and the Silers, right? You got to get and tell them about Jesus. You know why? Because she's already got direction. Her path already changed. Amen. Some of us spent many years on the road to hell. How old are you?
6.
How many of you would like to go back and trade in only 6 years on that road? Some of us have spent 19, 20, 40, 50 years. Some of us may even be on that road to hell right now, but you know what? Hadley changed that the day she got saved. She is no longer going to hell. You're going to heaven, honey. If you died right now, do you know where you'd go? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Okay, it's my privilege. It's my privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. And everybody said,
Amen.
Okay, amen. Now we can have the lights, and Brother Matt, if you can come up there. We have somebody that wants to join the church this morning. So we could turn the lights on really quick, and we could stand. Jonathan and Alyssa, would you come forward? It's my son and his wife, my daughter-in-law, and Travis, and they keep telling me, Dad, you know, we keep telling you we want to join the church, and you keep forgetting, so I can't forget the day I'm going to get in trouble. you know, they're both coming today by profession of faith, and I'm excited that I get to have my son around for a little bit. When I went to Africa, he went to Afghanistan, and we didn't get to see each other. And I'm very, very thankful for my daughter-in-law. She's a blessing, and Travis is